Morning. It's a privilege to open the Word. Really, the children have led us in remembering the Word this morning, have they not? So we've heard these stories of these six Bible heroes in the Scriptures, and when we hear their stories, we're captured by the way that they loved God, that they lived into the purpose that God had designed for their lives or their calling, and we see how it changed the world around them. And this morning in our scripture, we see that we too have a calling. So grab your Bible in the pew in front of you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. It's a short text for a short message, but why don't we stand together as we read the word of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul is a prisoner. He finished this journey that we just finished hearing about, and he's riding from Rome to the Christians in Ephesus around them, and he's urging the believers to walk worthy in their calling. So I don't know about you, but I have struggled a little bit with this word calling, kind of Christianese. What does it mean to be called by God? Is that like a heavy burden that we have to figure out? Parker Palmer, he describes the dilemma that I've felt, and he writes this. He writes, I mean the idea that vocation or calling comes from a voice external to ourselves, a voice of moral demand, and asks us to become someone we are not. Someone different, someone better, someone just beyond our reach. It's a notion that made me feel inadequate to the task of living my own life, creating guilt about that distance between who I was and who I was supposed to be, leaving me exhausted as I labored to close the gap. And Palmer goes on, he says, but vocation has not come from a voice out there calling me to become something I'm not. It comes from a voice in here calling me to be the person I was born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given me at birth by God. And that voice in here, friends, that's the whisper of God calling us the beloved. He empowers us to hear his voice and join his mission. And that is the calling on each of our lives here this morning. But instead of listening to that whisper that we're the beloved, we listen to the world instead, right? Paul in chapter 2, he writes, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant way of life. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. A pretty bleak description of where we are without Christ. But there's good news, right? Chapter 2, verse 4, it says, But God, immense in his mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin, dead selves and made us alive in Christ. And that's the Easter message, right? That Jesus was sent of God and he lived to show us and tell us that our sin can be forgiven. That evil doesn't have the last word in this world. And he died on a cross and he rose again. And he ushered in this new world order. He defeated death and evil, and it released the most fantastic hope that this world has ever seen. A fantastic hope that we get to live into. We're offered freedom and we're invited to join in this new unfolding of the world where love and perfect peace reigns. That Easter message, friends, that is an everyday opportunity to listen to the whisper of God calling us the beloved. and following him. This call is not this voice of moral demand up here. This call is a gift that we receive. So you only have to take a moment to reflect on our Bible heroes, these stories this morning, to know that this call matters. It has a lot of stake to it. When Jonah finally preached to the Ninevites, what happened to that great city? They were saved. And what happened when Esther gathered her courage, confronted injustice? What happened to her people? They lived. And Ruth, when she left her culture and became a lover of God, she found herself in the lineage of Christ. So living out our calling matters. Our world is broken, and we need people who will stand for justice and work for peace. And we know that people are hurting. They need us to hear, to help them hear the voice of God calling them the beloved. And living out this calling, it matters not just out there for them, but it matters for us, because when we live and walk in that way, we become our truest and most authentic self. It's a better way, a better way. So how do we live out this call? Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the calling you have received. Message puts it this way. It says, in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. Walk. No. Don't walk. Run. Run down the road that God has called you to travel. In all of this, how do we walk worthy in the call? We walk worthy out of what Paul writes in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, his prayer helps us see what we need to walk worthy. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to know the hope to which he's called you, to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us to believe. When I go on a walk, sometimes I'm tempted to overpack. When I go hiking, I'm thorough. My dad taught me compass, pocket knife, you know, extra socks, power bars, water. Yeah. No. Paul's saying when you walk in the walk, you just need three things to walk worthy. Hope. You need that hope in the resurrected Jesus to know he is making all things new. It's a powerful hope. We walk in blessing to know that the spiritual gifts God has lavished when we're adopted into his family, those gifts that we receive, grace and love and joy, reconciliation and redemption. And finally, we walk in the power of the Spirit. It's a good thing because my power is not enough to fuel me on this walk, but God's Holy Spirit power is. Hope, blessing, and the power of the Spirit. Those three things energize us to engage that call of Christ's work to make disciples for the redeeming transformation of our city and world. Right? So, as I close, what's keeping you from walking? Are you walking? Did you sit down along the way somewhere? Or get distracted or tired? God's call, Jesus' call to us this morning is to walk. Better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. And you know, you don't have to be one of these Bible heroes to accept the call. Even Bible heroes are regular people with regular problems, right? You may not have Samson's beautiful locks and muscles. After all, he was a regular guy, struggled with lust. Jonah, this great prophet, I think he had a little bit of a temper. Ruth, I mean, she knew grief. She was a widow. And Esther was an orphan girl. She lived with the pain of not having her parents in her life. So, although we don't find ourselves maybe to be these famous characters, we're not disqualified from the call. And we're not even promised that heroic fame if we do walk worthy. But God calls us daily. He's calling us today. And that call for ordinary people to believe God and make themselves available for God's extraordinary work. Ordinary people making themselves available for God's extraordinary work. So will you walk worthy today? Join me in prayer. God, in light of all this, we thank you. We thank you for your voice that whispers within, that calls us the beloved, to know that your hope and the blessing and your Holy Spirit power enables us to walk daily. Guide us on this road that we travel, God. Help us be faithful and receive the joy that comes from living into your call on our lives. In the name of Christ, who gives us the strength to do it. Amen.